Olivia May, here with my teacher, friend, and boss, Katrina Chester, as we press record at work in our studio. Welcome to Imprecise Storytelling. On an average day at work, so many teachings show us how limiting the stories of ourselves are. Are we more or less than our stories? What if beliefs cloud what is? Does it stop the curiosity to explore? If you think you know everything, you might be your own imprecise storyteller. We last left off talking about the roles we play in life, so let's begin part two.
Hello, it's Katrina and Olivia from Imprecise Storytelling, brought to you by Zooming in the Lens podcast.
Hey, love. Hello.
We have a very special guest.
Yes, we do.
So, I have a nephew. His name is Donovan, like the singer, Donovan. But his nickname is Frog. Mm-hmm. F-R-O-G. Why, you ask? Mm-hmm. Did you ask why?
I was thinking it.
Okay.
You were reading my mind, Katrina.
Why? Well, his nickname is Frog because when I met him, when he came out a couple hours later, mm-hmm. he looked like a frog. As many babies do, you know, the belly mm-hmm. and the little arms and the little legs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just the term of endearment. So everybody, at least in my world, knows him as Frog. I think the nickname's great. It reminds me of, like, the Little Rascals.
It's really cute.
Yeah, what were the nicknames on Little Rascals?
I think you would know that better than I would.
You know, it's before my time, but mm-hmm. Spanky.
Alfalfa?
And Alfalfa.
Okay.
Yeah. And I love those nicknames. So whenever I am with them and I call him Frog, it always makes me think of those times. What a great show that was. They don't make them like that anymore.
And you like that nickname, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
I do.
Yeah.
So everyone, here's Frog. Hi, Frog.
Hi.
So Frog is staying with us here in California for some practice for a month. Mm. I know. And we're 2 weeks into it already. And having him around is just awesome. And it started to make me remember being his age. He's 11. He just graduated the fifth grade. He's going to be going into sixth grade, which is a new school for him as well. And I remember being in the fifth grade. And I remember being, like, generally that age. I don't know if you felt this way, Liv, mm-hmm. but I grew up in a really large family. So I had three sisters. I have three sisters, and I have two brothers, and mom and a dad, and lots of friends, and lots of relatives. And it sort of always felt like, I mean, to know disrespect to them, it was just they were just being adults. But at that age, I sort of, being the youngest as well, felt very invisible. Mm-hmm. I sort of felt like I was to be seen but not heard. I don't know what kind of ramifications those have on us as adults. It might have absolutely nothing that follows through, you know, into our adulthood. But I remember just sort of feeling, I guess now, I didn't have this thought when I was 11, but like whatever I said didn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Did you feel that way?
I don't know that I felt that. I think I just felt like I was in a constant state of confusion looking back at that time. I think I was just constantly confused. I feel like, 11, so fifth grade to sixth grade for me, I think, was the start of a lot of emotional things that started to happen for me, where I was crying uncontrollably or having huge mood swings, and sort of that prepubescent time where I think my hormones were starting. And so I just felt like extreme disconnect from family. I mean, for a while I thought I was adopted because there were enough photos of me when I was born, but right. That happens with the second child. There's less photos. But
right.
That's how I felt about parenting. I did not have a big family. I just had my sister and my mom and my dad.
Right. Like, when you would say something, were you always listened to? You know, if you would ask why this, why that, why this? I mean, I think parents have great intentions and everything like that. And of course, yeah, after a while as an adult, it's like, I don't know why. Mm-hmm.
I think just because I said so is a thing.
Yeah,
or
I got
that's
that.
To do something.
Right.
But when I wanted to talk to dad, or whatever, he would be zoning out maybe on the TV and wouldn't even act like I was there. So mm-hmm. I understand that feeling. I can go back to a few times of feeling unimportant.
Yeah, unimportant. Mm-hmm. I guess that's what I sort of felt like.
Yeah.
And I just always thought everybody felt like that. You know, you couldn't even get a word in my house unless you yelled and spoke loud.
Oh, wow.
I think that's why I speak so firmly now as an adult, because I was kind of programmed that if I didn't, I would never be heard. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hanging around with kids these past 10 years, whether I'm teaching or my friends' kids, everybody's having kids.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say that some of my greatest teachers are kids.
Yeah.
They really are. Because it's not just that they don't have the filter, it's just that the questions that they ask and there's wisdom in just the questions.
Well, they get to be in the don't know mind most of the time.
Yeah, the beginner's mind. Yeah, and it's kind of an honor to mm-hmm. to be around that. So I figured, you know, listen, we have Frog here, and he knows this is a no judgment zone. He knows that there's you know, the world is different now, okay? It's not, I mean, listen, I don't want to sound like, yeah, I walked, you know, 1,000 miles in the snow to school every day and you don't have to do anything. But it is going to sound like that. It's a different world today. There's stuff going on in Frog's life that never would have flown mm-hmm. with me in the life that I had with my parents or even just in the time. So take into account while you're listening to this that probably if you're listening, you're not probably 11. I don't know that. If you are, welcome. But it's a different time now, so we have to accept what is. And what is that the kids today are going through different things. Some of them are the same things, just in different wrapping.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that when I'm alone with Frog, he has some really cool questions, like existential questions.
Yeah.
And some of them aren't philosophical. Some of them are just regular, like, why does this happen? Why does that happen? What does this mean? And, you know, I think the one consensus I get from parents is that I'd rather inform my kid of things than have them find out things that aren't true
right.
from the internet.
Right.
So I want to take the teaching. I want to, you know, I do practice being in the don't know mind. So I just thought that we'd have Frog on it. He agreed to do it and he wanted to do it just to sort of have an open dialogue. There's no agenda here. We have no idea what we're going to talk about, but sky's the limit. I wanted to start out with, you know, Frog's from New York, if I didn't say that already. He's 11. Do you ever feel that way, Frog? Do you ever feel like sort of invisible around adults?
Yeah, sometimes. Like when, like, parents are out partying or, like, drinking or something, right. I'm, like, always probably asleep by then. And mm-hmm. sometimes I feel lonely and I want, like, to be, I just want to be older and stay, like, old and young.
At the same time.
Yeah.
I think that's a good goal. Staying old and young. I think that's what we all want to do.
Yeah.
So do you ever feel like when you're around adults that, like, if you ask questions or if you're speaking about something that you're excited about, maybe it's gaming,
yeah.
you know, maybe it's YouTube videos or stuff like that, that you're just kind of, they don't really care? Mm-hmm. Like, how do you handle that?
Well, like, I usually would just, like, if my mom or dad doesn't want to watch me or get taught how to play a game, mm-hmm. then I would just, like, maybe just say, can you please do this for me, and then I'll, like, do a chore or something. Mm. Like, I'll, like, maybe work towards my mom watching me, or watching my videos with me.
Right.
Watching, like, Netflix or something with me. That would be really fun.
And yeah.
Sometimes, most of the time, it really never happens because she's usually out working or doing stuff around the house, like checking her emails and cleaning the house and doing laundry.
Right. it's a lot to take care of a house.
Yeah.
What is it that goes on? I've always been curious about this. What is it with kids that makes them want somebody to watch what they're doing.
I mean, for me,
yeah,
personally, I just like watching like my mom being entertained and like be impressed a little bit.
Right.
And yeah, that's basically it.
I think adults are like that too.
Yeah, like when I don't want to watch like an older movie or like a documentary about something that's not like fun to me,
like plants or something.
Yeah. I would just say I don't really want to watch that, and then I would just go play the drums or something.
Right. And so if an adult said to you, I don't really want to watch you play Minecraft or what is it? Minecraft?
GTA 5.
Wait a minute. No. I don't want anybody thinking you watch that. You don't play that in this house. That's all I'm going to say. You might play that at home, but I'm not allowing that here.
I play it at home, though.
All right. So.
Or like Skate 3 or Need for Speed or what? Like, what am I. Like, the most thing I want my mom to do with me is probably watch, like, YouTube videos of me. Like, I watch what she wants to watch.
You do that? That's what I'm getting at. Like,
no,
you do...
I don't do it, but I want to do it.
Yeah, because it's kind of have, like, one hand has to watch the other, you know? Like, if I'm going to watch something that you want, does it occur to a kid to say, now I'll watch something you want to watch?
I mean...
Not really, though,
not
right?
Really,
so,
yeah.
Like, the adult could maybe teach that to the kid.
Like, they would, like, I would usually just, say, like, if you watch this, I'll watch what you want to watch. But sometimes I just make excuses.
Yeah.
So I don't have to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, say, oh, I gotta practice for school, I gotta practice band, I gotta, play more drums for band.
Right.
And I just have to practice more and stuff.
Do you think you learned how to do that? How to deflect? How to create excuses? Or did you just naturally know to make excuses?
Like that's like a natural thing that kids usually do.
Mm.
Yeah, that's so interesting, isn't mm-hmm. it? Like, I wonder if that is a learned thing. Like, did anybody ever do that to you? Say...
They were
going to
do something, but then
yeah.
made excuses.
Oh, yes, actually, because me and my mom wanted to go to I wanted to go to trampoline park with my friends.
Mm.
And my friends are over, and she promises me, but she never keeps her promise.
Mm.
So, like, I'm all excited, and we're, like, having so much fun outside, waiting for her to get dressed and stuff. We come inside, she's either, like, laying down in bed, smoking a cigarette, or, like, checking her email. When she already did that, like, this morning or something. So she's doing all the things that could be done that are, like, not that long to be done first before we go because she doesn't really want to go.
So it's sort of, like, used.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
But also probably because of the money, too. And she doesn't have time, but she promises me. But then we never do it. Like, it never happens.
Do you think that because you... You saw her do that. Do you make promises now and then not keep them?
Well, because
it could go either way.
I usually never keep my promise. I never promise anything, to be honest.
You don't promise anything.
I swear I'll do this, but
isn't that a promise?
I guess it's close to a promise. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also, like, when I'm excited, like we're in a car driving to the place. I always expect it not to happen because I know it's probably not going to happen.
That's like upsetting, isn't it?
It's like teasing me. Like, here, you want to go here? Oops, I got to do this. Sorry.
So, like, out of 10 things you're going to do, how many of them will actually happen?
Probably, maybe like 2 or 3.
Right.
Like, depends on if my mom wants to do it or if she has money to do it or time to do it.
Would you rather her just say from the get-go, I can't, so that you know?
But if she says I can't, then I'll keep asking her and over again until I wear her out.
Right.
And then finally she says yes, and then I get my way.
Okay.
But then you don't get your way because she can't do it and she comes up with excuses.
Sometimes.
Okay.
Is it worth the risk?
Yes.
It is. Right. Like, if you were her, what advice could you give to her or any parent out there? Would you say to a parent, keep making promises, or would you say to the parent, don't make any promises you can't keep because it sets you up on the wrong path.
Yeah, probably don't make any promises that you can't keep because then your son or daughter is going to probably get mad. And, well, if they were like me, then they would probably get mad and, like, go do something else, like punch a pillow or play an instrument that they have from school.
Right.
Or just, like, go outside and go with your friends. Because, like, friends are always there to back you up. Because, like, sometimes if you have friends that are living right next door and your mom says, no, we can't go to bounce, then you just go. I would personally just go to my friends and have fun with them. And I'll come back in 3 hours just to, like, cool off. Or take a walk around the block, ride my bike around the block, go down to the baseball fields, practice some hitting, do anything like that.
And that just cools you off, and then you get back and
I calm down and like start over. To my mom, if I give her a hard time, it like doesn't mean to her that it's just gone away. Like it's not.
She holds on to what you're saying.
Yeah, it still happened, and she keeps doing it until I either get a punishment or like I get something taken away, like my Xbox or my phone. So then I would like when she takes away stuff from me and I don't get what I want, and I'm not really that happy. So that's basically it.
Yeah. So you'd still say to all the parents out there, just don't promise at first.
Yes. If you're not gonna keep your promise, then depends on how sensitive your child is.
Right.
If it's like really sensitive and like he really wants to do this and then he cries about it, or he or she cries about it because they're really sad, or if you have a child that is like gets really mad all the time.
Mm.
I'm not saying that's wrong or anything, but then they would probably go and get mad and punch something or break something, and then. If that ever happened to me, my mom would probably scream at me and either call the police or just take a whole bunch of things away until I feel better, I guess.
What advice could you give her? Like, what do you think she could do different?
Maybe just keep her promises. That's all I can say. Just
yeah, that's really good advice. I mean, for everybody.
It's kind of like what being true to your word means. So,
did your parents keep promises?
I had one very specific time when I brought home some salamanders from school because I lied to whoever was getting rid of them and said that my parents said I could have them. So I took them home and we put them in a little fishbowl, and I got to have them for a while, but I don't know if like a week came by and they decided that, no, you need to go put those, you know, we need to go drive you and put them in a creek somewhere. We're going to drive up to the foothills. We're going to let the salamanders go. And my dad promised that if I get straight A's through the rest of my school, because this was elementary school, but he said like through high school, that I will be able to get a gaming console. Like, I had a Game Boy, but we didn't get to have the bigger, you know, like Nintendo NES. At the point, you know, like the bigger things where you play with a few people. And so time goes by, and I'm pretty sure he doesn't remember that at all, ever, but I got those straight A's and I never got the thing. I just remember very specifically that promise happening at that pivotal time of I have to give up something that I want because you're telling me I'm gonna get something else I want later in life, deeply later in life.
Right.
I accepted it and I was like, okay. But yeah, that didn't happen.
So what happened to the salamanders?
I had to go let them swim off in the water up in the nature.
Mm-hmm. Were you sad?
I was sad. I named one Squishy. And I think I officially call that, like, my first, you know, pet.
Yeah.
First pet.
No. I don't remember my parents ever promising something that they didn't keep.
Yeah.
And my parents were really strict. And if they told me that I had to the count of three, I had to the count of two and a half.
You trusted them when they said that, and you knew that.
I knew
it was not an empty promise. They were giving you that time.
It took a look, even. Mm-hmm. Just a certain look that my mom or dad mm-hmm. would give me. And
yeah.
believe me, we challenged it, and I saw the proof. I saw that they followed through with my sisters. So I saw that they followed through with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Not in such great ways, but in, like, negative ways. Like, if you don't behave yourself, we're leaving this party, and we would leave the party.
Yeah.
It was never an empty threat.
Mm-hmm.
So I believed them. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's good or bad, but do you find, Frog, that, like, could the word trust be brought in here? Like, maybe does it make you not trust?
Yeah, like, like, say your mom was gonna, like, promise you something that you really, really wanted, like Olivia said, with the gaming console, but, like, she doesn't do it, like, it never happens. Then you can never trust her ever again, because you're never going to believe her. It's like the boy who cried wolf or something like that.
Oof, yeah, that's heavy. Mm-hmm. What does that feel like to not trust your parent?
It's like... Can you repeat the question?
Sure. I'm imagining in my head not trusting the one person that I... or the people that... I feel like I could be the most comfortable with, like, the people that I live with and that care for me. And I feel, I'm trying to imagine what it would feel like to deep down inside, maybe. I'm not saying that you don't trust them. I'm curious as to what does it feel like every day when you're not sure if the next thing that comes out of their mouth is true. Like, does that... How does that affect your life?
It makes me, like, sad, and, like, I don't feel like I can, like, my mom can, like, do anything anymore. Like, if I can't trust her, then, like, if I asked her to keep a secret or something, then I would never trust her to do it, because she never keeps her promises, or...
So it goes over. I don't mean to interrupt you, but so the fact that she's saying things that don't, she doesn't keep her promises, that has come over to also that she might not be able to keep a secret then. Has she ever told a secret you've told her?
Yes.
Okay, so she also has done that. So that then all together, who do you trust?
I probably trust my best friend, because I've known him for basically my entire life.
What's his name?
His name is Sam. He's, like, one of the best friends I can ever have, because he's always there for me, and he's really nice, and I can trust him with everything, because he always keeps a promise, he never lies, and he's, like, I can rely on him to do a lot of things.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
I'm lucky to have friends with him.
That's great. How often do you get to see him?
Well, he's in my school, and he was in my class, so now we're probably going to be in the same school again for 8 years now.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've known him since kindergarten through sixth grade. So, and I also hang out at his house all the time. I go over to his house. We go down to the school, because he lives, like, right next to my old school,
mm-hmm.
which is the elementary school that I just graduated from. And we, like, play basketball, because they have, like, a tennis court, and we play tennis, we play soccer, we fly his drone.
Wow, he has a drone.
It's not, like, a professional drone, but it's like a fun little helicopter thing. And he also has drum sets downstairs. I taught him how to play the drums.
Wow.
I taught him how to ride a bike.
Wow.
I taught him how to play baseball.
What did he teach you?
He taught me a lot of things, too. He taught me, like, karate, because he does karate. He taught me a little bit of karate. He taught me how to play a little bit of his drums that he created. Like, he created this little beast. He taught me how to fly a drone. He taught me how to work out a little bit, mm-hmm. like some stretches and stuff.
Wow.
And I also taught him how to play basketball and all those things. And we really have a great bond.
Wow. And so do you think, does he influence you because he doesn't lie? Do you find that you learn from him to be honest?
Yeah. Like,
Even though it's hard. I know it's
yeah,
hard
it's very,
sometimes.
very hard, but I just, like, he teaches me things, I teach him things,
Wow.
and it's really fun.
When you have arguments with your mom, is that something you would ever go to him and say, "I had a fight with my mom," and does he
Well,
give you
he
advice?
knows that I fight with my mom. And sometimes when I fight with my mom and there's my friend in the back seat or something, like I sort of lose friends sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, how do you lose them? What actually happens?
Well, like the son tells his mother that we fight a lot, that his mother doesn't trust me. His mother doesn't trust my mom and doesn't trust me with their child.
Whoa. That's heavy.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm sorry. Is
I'm
he the
used to
only
it.
person you trust?
No. There is, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, one more person. Two more people.
Okay.
Matthew, he's one of my best friends. We're on the same baseball team, we're in the same class. And Kevin is one of my best friends. We like have things in common. I've gone to his house sometimes. We're in the same class in school, and it's so much fun to be with him and Matthew and Sam.
Wow. It's great that you have people your own age that you feel like you could trust.
Yeah.
Is there any adults, like any teachers or any parents of your friends, or this is hard to not trust
I like
adults?
Sam's mom and dad. They're really, really, really nice. They're like so nice, and they help me with a lot of things. Like Brian, he is like very like funny sometimes. Because he works in like show business, like baseball and stuff. He
Oh,
works
wow.
at MLB Network, and he also does, I think, maybe weather stuff, I think. And he works like backstage computers, and he does like he's really fun and like very happy all the time. And like if something goes wrong, he's like, it's all right, we can fix this and we can sort it out. And Randy, she's basically the same thing. She's really nice. She's really good with her kids, and she has like very, very good like rules and stuff. Like when they get home from school, everybody goes and sits on the couch, and like we all talk about how our day was and what happened. Because I've done that with them when I like came home with them from school, and I love doing that, and it's really fun.
Wow, so does Randy work?
Yes, Randy also, she does like CPR, and she saved like so many people's lives. And she also does like fitness. Like she's a fitness person, and she like trains people and stuff, and it's really, really fun. Like Tommy and stuff.
So when you go over there, you kind of see a little bit of structure because they do specific things every day.
Yeah.
They come home, they sit, they talk about their day. And you like that.
I love it, yeah.
You love that.
We were trying to start with my mom, but as soon as we moved from our house, we were very stressed out, and we couldn't really do that because we never had time. Like when I got home, I would basically do my homework, eat dinner, watch a little TV, and then go to bed. Or play my games. And I usually go to bed when I do that around like 11:30, 12. And
That's really late to go to
yeah,
bed.
it especially on a school day.
Yeah.
And I have to wake up in the morning at like 6, because especially now if we're going to middle school, my bus comes at like 7:30, so I have to wake up in like 5 in the morning, do all my stuff, and then get on the bus and go to school at like, I think like 7:30 to 8, and then that's when it starts, I think. And then we get off at school
Right.
at 2, so I'm gonna get home earlier, and I'm gonna just be home alone and do whatever I want until my mom gets home.
Well, I mean, you can look at that too, like getting home, doing your homework, eating dinner, playing a game. Like, you can look at that as structure too.
Yeah,
It's
but
sort of
like
like you're doing that.
sometimes I don't like I have a very hard time doing my homework and my math, because especially my math, because my math is really not that easy. And especially when it's really late at night, like I get really tired and cranky, and I don't feel like doing this. And
that's what creates
fights with my mom. Because she tries to help me, but she can't help me because she doesn't know how to do it because it's new.
A new system, right?
It's Common Core, and they didn't have that when she was a kid. So, yeah.
Would you recommend to parents, like, would you give parents advice that when the kid gets home, if you could just have a sit down, talk about your day, and then they help you with your homework right away?
Yeah, like, if you're a stay-at-home mom and stuff, that's really good. And that's, like, you get home, maybe have, like, a little snack. Do what Sam does and, like, talk about how your day was. Like, the kid says what happened, and then the mom says what happened and how it was. And then, like, take, like, maybe an hour break. And, like, if you don't have, like, any baseball or sports or, like, therapy or anything like that, then just take, like, an hour break just to cool down and, like, watch TV, do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. And then, an hour later, your mom, like, should say, like, okay, let's start your homework now. And then you would start your homework, and then when you finish it, you have the rest of the day to do nothing or whatever you want.
So do your homework soon.
Yeah, like, if you get home at 3, you should probably start at around 4.
I see. I think that's good advice to everybody out there.
Yeah.
It's new that parents are helping with homework, because when I was little, parents didn't help with homework. I mean, at least not in my family. My sisters helped me, but my parents never...
Were you guys in the same class when you were younger?
No, because they're all older than me.
Oh.
So I was sort of like an only child a little bit, because by the time, you know, my youngest sister is 5 years older, then 7 years older, and then your mother is 10 years older than me.
But then they went through that. They had the
same system, yeah.
And then they could have helped you, but you had like people to play with and like discuss about boys and play
not
with
really.
Dolls.
My sisters never wanted to play with me ever. They thought I was uncool and too young, and they wanted to get away from me as quick as they could. And so a lot of the fights in our house was play with Katrina, play with Katrina. And I didn't want her to make them play with me, because I don't want to play with somebody that doesn't want to play with me. But my sister Mandy, she was the person who helped me because I had dyslexia, and she really tried to help me do my homework. So Mandy helped me, but I don't know, it was a different generation, I guess, but like parents weren't expected to do homework with you. It's very bizarre now that I hear you saying that, because I don't have any memory of my parents ever doing homework with me.
What about your brothers?
Timmy did sometimes. Gary was already married with kids, and I barely saw Gary in like every day.
He's like Lexi.
Yeah, he's sort of like Lexi is to you. His sister is, you know, 26. Frog's sister is 26. She's been on the podcast too. I don't know what that is about. Maybe it was bad that my mother didn't do homework with me. I don't really know, but it was never expected. And we didn't have internet, so it wasn't like we could get the answers.
Mm-hmm.
We really had to, we were expected to do our homework. I know that I had to do my homework the minute I got home.
Were you never allowed to do it on the bus?
She never told me I wasn't allowed, but there was too much fun going on the bus.
Yeah.
There's no way I was going to do my homework on the bus. And then in 7th and 8th, from 7th grade up, I walked to school.
Yeah.
So, actually, that's not true. 7th, 8th, and 9th grade that I walked to school. Then in high school, I had a car.
Were you nervous?
Yeah.
To walk?
Never nervous to walk, just lazy and didn't want to walk.
Yeah.
But
I would always love to walk to school.
You would?
I would always love to do that, yeah.
But in the winter, it was hard, you know, growing up in the East Coast like we did. It was like, you know, tons of snow and freezing, and like 7 o'clock in the morning, and you were in your warm bed. That was always my problem, was waking up in the morning.
That's exactly what, and going to bed at night, like, I usually watch like DVDs and like old movies like Green Acres or...
You mean to bore yourself to sleep?
No, I love old movies. I love old movies.
I'm just kidding.
Like Green Acres, and there's new shows like Impractical Jokers. I'm in love with that show.
It's a good. I watched that with you. That
Portlandia. It's a great show. Grey's Anatomy. I love that too.
These are all shows your mother watches.
Grey's Anatomy, that's the only one. And Orange is New Black, my mom watches. I don't watch that.
You can't watch that. Yeah, yeah. I don't watch that. Okay, good. You're going to make my sister sound like a really bad mother.
No.
Wow. Wow. I wonder if you hear that sound right now, and if Frog sounds winded, it's because he's
basically being like a frog on his little...
I'm at an exercise ball, just jumping up and down.
Yeah, he's just going up and down, up and down.
Because I have ADHD, and I'm very...
I can't look at him because it's making me dizzy.
It's starting to actually make me really dizzy, so
I can't, like, look at his face.
Yeah, it's happening to you, too?
I have to look away and just listen.
Wow, it's so wild how the vestibular system works, because I was fine, and then all of a sudden I started to feel like I was in the back seat of a car.
Yeah, it's wild.
What were we saying?
We were talking about, like, my mom being a bad mom.
No. Oh, no, that was
the most... Do you think your mom is a bad mom?
No, my mother is a great mother. She's the best.
What makes her the best?
She's so nice.
Is she nice?
She helps me when I'm sick, and I have every, like she helps me. Something like, I try to make her change, and, like, sort of make her, like, or let her, like, help me a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And that's basically what makes her a great mother.
Yeah, does she cuddle you and stuff?
Yes. And she, like, tickles me to sleep on my back.
Oh,
and,
lucky.
And she puts on the videos and stuff and makes me dinner and makes me food, and I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, that's good. So, do you think most of the fights happen? Why?
Probably because, like, I don't get what I want.
Yeah.
And
do you feel like you should always get what you want?
No.
What part of you is making you say that, though? Like, is that the part of you that you think adults want to hear, that you shouldn't get what you want, or...
Well, if, like, to make a kid happy, give them what they want. If you want a kid sad, just don't do anything. Ignore them.
What about love, though? What has Mimi taught you about love? Like,
love is a great thing.
And isn't love sometimes not giving a kid what they want?
Yes, because it's for their own good. It's a benefit.
Because I want you to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I love you, I can't sit there and keep saying, I love you, I love you, I love you, have this lollipop, I love you, I love you, I love you, eat all this chocolate, this kettle corn, this, that. Like, there's times when it hurts to love as an adult. It does. It hurts to love sometimes as an adult. And it's hard for kids to get that. So the ADHD bomb that you just dropped.
Yes.
What's it like to be 11 and walk around with the story that you have ADHD?
I do have ADHD.
Okay, no, I'm sure you do, but what's it like?
Yeah, what does ADHD mean to you?
Yeah,
what
does
it
mean?
It means, like, you're very jittery and, like, you always tap like that and stuff, like, in class, because I always got in trouble for, like, drumming because I'm addicted to drumming. And drumming is my life, and I love doing it. And, like, my teachers are always telling me, stop tapping, it's annoying. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm playing good.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand that because they don't really care. And it just means, like, you really, like, talk fast. Like, I'm talking really fast now.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you can't stop moving. Like, it's really hard to stop moving. Like, if you don't get what you want, you get mad sometimes. And if you're bored, you're really looking for something to do, either, which is eat. For me, either eat or ask somebody to play with me. Mm-hmm. And if they can't play with me, I'll go outside and play with myself at, like, a park or in my backyard or something.
So has it always been this way? Do you ever remember yourself being different?
Maybe when I was a baby, a little bit.
You remember being a baby?
Yeah, a little bit. I remember biting kids. And
biting kids?
Yes.
Was that one of your first memories?
Yeah, probably.
And do you remember why you bit the kid, or it's sort of just all of a sudden you woke up in yourself and you were biting a kid?
Probably because they got me mad.
So you don't know why you did it, you're just assuming?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, did it ever... Do you question why, ever?
Yeah, because... I always wanted to know
right.
why I bit kids and I did things that I do now.
Right. What do you do about that curiosity? Like, has anybody given you an answer that you're okay with?
No.
Maybe it'll be, adults don't know everything.
Yeah.
So now you have this story, right? I call it a story. Not that stories are always fake, they're real too. They're relatively real, right? So is ADHD, like, can you fix it?
I used to take medicine for it, so I mean the medicine helped when I was first like the first few days or the first few weeks of it. But then over time, while I was normal and used to it, taking it every day in the morning, I get very like once it wears off, I get super tired, cranky, and that's what probably starts more fights. And then yeah, I think you can fix it,
You
but
can fix it?
I'm pretty sure 'cause I try to fix it. But it's very, very hard to fix it because you don't feel like you can control it.
Like an itch or something.
Yeah, like you see, I'm stuttering and stuff because that's why I'm talking very fast and because my ADHD.
And so, like, if you wanted to control it right now, what would be the very first thing that you would say to yourself in your mind?
Probably you're gonna tire yourself out or. I need to stop now because it's annoying some people. And, or, like, stop bouncing on this ball that I'm bouncing on right now.
Right. And when you can't stop, what kind of things does your mind say to you?
I do this thing in my head, like, if I wanted to ask somebody something, like, should I ask them this? And then, like, the wheel of yes or no, and then it spins, and then whatever it lands on, it says, like, yes, when. So you say you that means you do say it. If it's no, then you don't say it.
Wow.
That's what I do in my mind.
So you're sort of leaving it up to like wheel of fortune kind of
Yeah, like
wheel.
chance.
Yeah, leaving it up to chance.
Like the risk.
Do you ever feel like you could actually make it go to yes or no?
Like if I don't like the like if it's a bad call, like in baseball, I would probably change it to yes.
So you can change it.
Yeah.
Without medicine, you think?
Probably yes, without
Wow.
medicine.
That's good news. That's good
I hate
news.
taking medicine.
Do you?
Yeah, it's really annoying.
What's
Do
annoying?
you do what were you saying?
What was it? What's annoying about taking medicine?
Because like you have a responsibility and sometimes I forget to take it and if I don't take it then my doctors say it's not gonna fix the problem or like something like that.
Do you wish you were different?
No, I am happy with who I am. Wait, no, that's not true. But when I'm mad, like if I'm like mad or sad, I either want to die, kill myself, or something like that. Or I wish I was like this kid because they never fight with their mom. They have everything that they want, but that never means that they're always happy.
True.
So sometimes yes and no. Like I. Most of the time, like right now, I'm happy with who I am and what I'm doing, and I think I have everything, and I'm very grateful and lucky to have all this stuff. But when I'm like mad and I don't get what I want, I'm like, oh my God, I wish I was this kid that has a beautiful house, a beautiful mom, a young mom and dad, an Xbox and Xbox One and a phone and everything.
I think some adults feel that way too. I think that's a little bit normal, and that dialogue goes on in the head. And part of being a curious person is to wonder how many other lenses we can look through, like the kaleidoscope, or how many different glasses. Like, all right, I have the Wheel of Fortune. I have maybe like the mantra that you've been saying since you've been here.
I am safe.
I am safe. I
I
am
am very
safe.
safe.
I am safe. Yeah. You are safe.
Very safe.
And I wonder, like, too, like how could somebody like me, just even as your friend, not only as your aunt, how could somebody earn the trust of somebody like 11, like you? How do you earn trust?
You probably learn trust because, like, you're trying, like, say, you probably learn trust because, or, yeah, you probably learn or earn trust so that, like, if you keep a promise, like we were saying, or keep a secret, like we were saying, or, like, just keep, like, trust them with what, like, you ask them to do,
mm-hmm.
or, like, can you hold this for a second? Like a random stranger, if you can trust them, if you like, you really are like really can trust them, then you would probably give it to the person. Like it was a purse,
right?
Like if it was a young kid,
right?
Like my age, or maybe even younger.
Mm-hmm.
Like you ask, can you hold this for a second? And you go run to do something, and you come back.
Mm-hmm.
And if the kid's still there, you would trust him.
I see. Okay.
So you almost have to try it out a little bit. See if they are trustworthy with something big or small, but something.
Mm-hmm.
The task.
Yes.
Are you trustworthy?
Like, depends on what you want to trust me to do. Like, give me an example.
If I told you a secret about Tommy, would you keep the secret?
If it was you, yes.
Okay.
But if it was, like, one of my friends / I don't really know them. I love to create drama, so I would probably not keep that secret and like maybe over exaggerate a little bit, like oh my god, he likes him and she kissed him, or he slept in her bed with her. That will never mm-hmm. happen, but
right.
something like that, because I love creating drama and like a mystery and like who done it, who said it, and is it real,
even if it's not the truth.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess we call that exaggerating.
Yeah.
So you like to create imprecise stories.
Yes.
That's the name of this podcast. That's cool. It's cool and it's not cool.
So that's an interesting, you say something that, you say, I like to create drama. Is that something you've always liked? Is that something you've always known about yourself?
Yes.
Or is that something someone told you?
No, I like to create it, because, I told myself I like to create it.
Oh, okay. So, that seems like maybe an actor's job, to create a story and live in it.
We talked about that. We talked about him acting.
And you obviously like drumming, so you seem to be very creative. Is that, are these like deep passions? Are these things you want to create in the future? You want to...
Yeah.
Do these things in life?
Yes.
Hmm.
You know what's interesting, Fog?
What?
My teacher taught me that the things that are important to me are usually things that I'm not finding in myself. And so that's why it's important for me in other people. And I find it interesting, maybe you will too, when I look through the lens... of that it's, trust is important to you and people keeping their promises. And then I ask you, do you keep your promises? And you say, it depends on who it is and what it is, because I like to create drama. So in a way, I wonder if why you're, you know, maybe creating the story of like, I want to be able to trust my mom and... If you're feeling that way because you're feeling unsafe that you can even do it, so maybe then everybody else seems like they might not be able to do it until they prove it to you that they can do it.
Yeah.
So I wonder if you tried to work on that in yourself. Like if you tried to say, I know I like to create drama, or that's the story you've got in your head. I like to create drama. Whether it's true or not, that's your business, right? But what if you could say to yourself that what's more important to me, because that's what I'm hearing now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm hearing now is what's more important than creating the drama is trust. So what about that Wheel of Fortune you have there, not just being yes or no, but also being what's more important? It's more important to me that I can trust you, but I can't really trust you, 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 and you until I can trust me. meaning you. Mm-hmm. If you trust yourself...
to trust them.
Well, trust yourself that you can keep secrets as long as they're not creating violence on somebody. Like, if somebody gives you a secret that something bad's about to happen, you know, hey... Sometimes
like,
we
they
need
say
to break
they're doing
it.
Drugs, like, do you, like, I would tell somebody, but then they would never be friends with me. Like, what would you do in that situation?
I would probably tell somebody, but I would give the kid the, I would, like, if a person said that to me, I would say, I need to tell you that I'm scared for you, and I can't sit here with this secret, even though I said I could. It was before I knew that it was about you hurting yourself. And I would warn them and say, you have time. I'll give you till tomorrow to tell somebody. But if you don't tell somebody by tomorrow, I have to, because I can't live with this. Because if something were to happen to that person, it might be hard for you to forgive yourself. So that's
probably
what
I'm just trying to create fun. Creating drama is fun to me.
What if it hurts people?
Then it's not fun to me. But I don't know if it would hurt anybody. Until it actually happens.
Oh,
and then,
I see.
And then I see him sitting in a corner crying, and then I feel like...
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so interesting to me. It's right. Almost like it doesn't occur until he's experiencing it. Direct experience of, like, what is kind and what's not. So it's like he's testing the waters.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if the intention... Do you know what the word intention means?
A little bit.
It's like, I hate
something
to...
Something that you want to do, like,
yeah.
On purpose.
And it's something that's bigger than just small little intentions, right? So think of, like, the big overall intention is trust, the word trust. We have to find that in ourselves first before we can expect anybody else to be trustworthy to us. Because we can't feel trust unless we feel it in ourselves. So I could see if I don't trust myself that I'm going to always wonder who I could trust. It's interesting how the mind works like that. So if you can trust yourself and maybe lessen the drama for the sake of creating trust for yourself, because if you don't lie and you don't exaggerate, I bet you that you would learn to trust your mother. Because isn't she just a human?
She's just a person.
Just a person, right? We all... aren't perfect. We're not here to be perfect. We're here to learn. How many times do you think it takes for you to hurt somebody before you learn and then take the action to change it? Like, how many times does a person need to be hurt before you change?
Probably once.
Once? That's good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I wonder, you've asked me some... Well, you know what? I think we're going to take a 5-minute break, and then we're going to come back. What do you think about that?
Okay.
Is that cool?
It's fine.
We'll take a 5-minute break, give you a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
All right, cool. We'll be right back. Hey, so we're back. We took a little break to get cooled down and...
Open some windows. Might have some nature sounds.
Yep.
It's very hot in here.
Yep. So we needed to open some windows and get some airflow going on in here. And, you know, so we were talking about... What did we leave off with?
Oh, wow. What did...
God. I mean, we're just getting great parenting advice, really. Like, parenting and people advice. And I feel like a lot of us have missed a lot of this great wisdom from kids because, you know, that whole be seen and not heard thing.
Well, I mean, I really think that we have a very well-spoken 11-year-old here with us today. And
yes.
So I don't know how many people get to have great conversation with an amazing 11-year-old.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. So that's... I'm intrigued. This is fascinating.
Yeah, I think we're going to do this again.
Definitely.
Because it's good practice, right? Good
it's
yoga
fun.
Practice.
It's fun. I like doing this.
I'm really glad.
I love giving advice and helping people out.
Well, I'm so glad to do that. And we get to help ourselves,
especially
right?
Especially the homeless, yes.
Sometimes when you talk about things, when you're giving advice to other people, you're really giving advice to yourself. You know? Like you're practicing through teaching.
Yeah.
And
you're hearing it. You're hearing yourself say it, and it helps with all the auditory learning and different ways of letting it sink into your brain.
Yeah, I find that too. And I wanted to spend the last 10 minutes, because obviously we'll pick up next time we do this, on the advice that you have, the parenting and being able to hear a kid out, because there's a lot of secret hidden messages and things that you hear from kids. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to open up the last 10 minutes to you to have you ask questions to us about any topic. There's no topic that you can't bring up. Nobody's going to judge you. And it could be about anything.
Okay. When you work, like when you get home, do you ever feel like tired and pooped out and then you have to come home and edit these? And you work very hard for this, so do you ever feel like stressed out?
Yes. I do.
Okay. And Olivia, what is your job right now?
My job right now is working with your wonderful aunt as her assistant. And on this, we're sort of
partners.
And so me and her get to have a ton of different relationships together. We're not only great friends now, she's my boss, I'm her employee. We can be partners in this project. And sometimes I can be her teacher, sometimes more times than not, she's my teacher. And when I'm not doing that, my passions lie in the creative field. I'm a musician, which I get to share with her, and she gets to mentor me through the music industry as a singer, and as well as being an actress. She gets to help me through that, too. So that's whisks me away sometimes to not be available for her, but we get to enjoy a very flow, go with the flow, things are different every day kind of life,
yeah,
which I prefer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I don't really have that much questions.
No? What about God?
Oh, I always wonder, like, where did we come from? Why are we here? Like, what's the point? Like, if we weren't here, what would there be?
Ooh, I like that one a lot.
Do you have any, like, own philosophies or own theories on what would be here if we weren't here?
I think there would just be planets and nothing living. Maybe aliens, because we now found water on the moon, I think, or Mars or something. And that water is like life. So there could be life forms somewhere in the beautiful universe there is today.
Yeah. That's really interesting.
Do you have an idea of why you think we are alive at all?
I think just because, like, so there's something to do.
Ooh. God. There's so much wisdom going on
God
here.
God might have ADHD.
God might have ADHD. You just titled the podcast.
And he's bored.
God might have ADHD. That's beautiful. He very well might. That would make you godly.
And, like, I would always love to go up in space, but you know, when you go up in space, you throw up as soon as your blood rushes to your head, which I hate throwing up, so I would never go in space.
How do you know you throw up?
Because there was this thing, my friend went, it had a party at like a space thing, and these people went up in space, and they said, I asked them, did you throw up? And they're like, yes, as soon as you, get away from the atmosphere or the gravity, you just immediately throw up and everything floats around. But I would always love to float and like walk on the moon or and,
can you really let the fear of throwing up stop you from doing that?
Yes.
You really can?
Yeah. I hate throwing up.
Why is that?
Because I feel like I'm gonna die and my guts are coming up out of everything and then like it feels horrible.
But what if I told you you weren't going to die in that moment? If you just were sick and you knew you weren't going to die, could throwing up just be like, blah?
No. I will never go up to space just for that reason.
I see.
Because that's like one of my worst nightmares.
So that's wild because I used to make myself throw up. Do you know what that is?
Like gagging?
Yeah, like, but it's, so that's bulimia, when you eat and then you make yourself throw up.
I used to do it a lot. Is that, like, crazy to you? Because...
Why would you do that?
I had issues with being able to see myself correctly in the mirror. But on top of that, it was like... I couldn't control anything in my life but what went in and out of my mouth. And so that became the only thing I could control, and it became an obsessive disorder.
Oh.
That we had to, like, work through. And I had to learn how to have the feeling of wanting to do something, but I couldn't because I was hurting myself when I did it. I had to learn that all through high school.
Wow.
Yeah.
It must have been hard.
It was hard. But it gets easier. Because, you know, it's like when you learn that you have things that are hurting yourself, even though you want to do them, you want to do them, and you feel like you need to do them, but you realize you're just hurting yourself, and the people around you who love you or don't want you to be hurting yourself, so they're doing what they can to help you through it, even though you're not the nicest person while they're trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So I just wonder if that's, like, a crazy thing to you because you hate throwing up.
It is.
Yeah.
It's hard to be 11, isn't it?
No. Not as hard as being an adult. I know that.
Really?
But you said you wanted to be an adult. You said you wanted to be old and young at the same time.
Yeah, but I just thought I had to, like, pay bills and, like, stuff like that, have more responsibilities in life.
Mm-hmm.
You're not looking forward to that, are you?
No, I'm not.
Well, it doesn't have to be... so scary. Like, you don't see us stressed out, right?
No. Well, inside you could be. You could be not happy.
And I'm just playing it off?
Yeah, you're trying to make me happy. And
that could be.
Trying to make it so that I don't feel sad or something.
That could be. But there's an element of you that must trust me a little.
Oh, I trust you all the way.
You do?
Yeah.
Do you think life is about being happy all the time?
No. Because if we were always happy all the time, there would basically, everybody would be miserable and, like, there would be nothing to do, really.
Yeah. I think so, too. So I think, like, what if we are here to learn how to, I can't think of a better word now, but, like, dance, like, play through... our reactions to being, going from sad to happy and happy to sad over and over and over again. So the whole thing is about who we are in the middle. Not when we're just sad and not when we're just happy, but when we're in between.
Yes.
And I think, I don't say I'm happy or I'm sad, I'm both. I'm just curious about who in me shows up and what reaction I give when I'm not getting what I want. And what if I don't know what I want? It's kind of cool to wake up every day and go, you know what? I don't know what I want. Because then the next thing that comes into me is the right thing. Because I don't sit there going, well, it's not what I thought it was. What if you just don't think of what it is and you just allow the day to be what it is? Because I think when you practice yoga, it gives you this other part of you that sort of starts to come alive, and it watches the happy and the sad, the happy and the sad, the happy and the sad, but I'm not as controlled by it.
Yeah.
And it's a cool feeling. I'm really glad that you came to stay with me for the month.
I am very happy that I'm here. I had a great time doing this podcast, and hopefully there'll be another one very, very soon with me in it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So everybody, thank you for tuning in to Imprecise Storytelling with some parenting from Frog. I think that he's just got some good advice, even if you're not a parent, just for all of us to sort of listen to each other and see that maybe what we're saying, there's something else underneath that.
Yeah.
there's some other way to tune into if we don't trust people. Maybe it's that we don't trust ourselves. And if we work on the self first, then everything on the outside just sort of comes before you know it and you don't even realize it. And we'll be back again. This is brought to you by Zooming in the Lens. And you can find us at functionalyogaonline.com. And Liv?
Yes. What, Instagram.com/functionalyogaonline.
There you go.
.com.
.com and .com. You got all it. All right. Coms. We'll see you again really soon. Thanks for tuning in.
Bye.
And thank you, Frog.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Music and editing, special thank you to Ian Hatton. If you'd like more information on Ian, go to mixforpix, mixforpix.com.